Smith Sabatino here. Carl, I said in the last segment that I had a rant and a little bit of a rave. I forgot to do the rave.
Let's do the rave.
The rave is this particular airline left on time. So that, at least it. That's something.
Well, I got to tell you, we can continue on with this topic.
No, we can drop
and
it if you want.
But it is one, though, that in general, these service industries, the only place that I've seen an improvement in service industries has been in the hotels and the restaurants. I've seen significant improvement in that regard.
And one of the reasons I have read is the fact that we have a lot more people coming into the service industry and want to make it a career.
That's correct. And these young people are good. They're smart. They're intelligent. They know what they're doing. They know their product. You go into those restaurants, they got it covered. They are cooperative. They're attentive. They look around the room, because I used to be a waiter in my youth, and they were always taught to look around the room and look at your tables to make sure that there are no hands in the air, no wants or warrants, as we used to say. They need something, you're there. And I've noticed in myself when I was on the West Coast recently, that on the West Coast they have taken that to a new height. The service in all the restaurants I went to out there the last time I was there were exceptional. Absolutely exceptional.
So probably 20% now is the norm rather than 15-18% in terms of a gratuity.
That's correct. I mean, the service is just spot on. And when I get good service, I pay for it.
All right. We all know, based upon your statements, that you are a history buff.
I am.
That's fair. So I'm going to give you some clues, and I want you to guess who I am talking about.
Okay.
You ready? His teacher said he would never amount to anything. His first term at boarding school, the teacher wrote a blunt letter home and said, "The boy is never focused and never on time." The tardy boy became a tardy man. Always late, many people left sitting at the dinner table. His speeches ran long, dinner parties waited, trains were held, generals cooled their heels, even royalty waited. Now, early in this man's career, he reportedly was the highest-paid journalist in the world. He was originally trained as an army officer at Sandhurst. That's the British equivalent of West Point. His first public adventure began in India. British General Sir Bindon Blood had been dispatched with 3 brigades to put down a revolt, and the only way this young military man could get to go was as a war correspondent. His colorful dispatches put him in the public eye and served him well. Who is it, Carl?
Wow. That's a good one. Because I don't have a time frame for this. I could think of a...
Well, if it's India and the
well,
British...
Well, it's in the 19th century.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's a time frame. That's some frame.
That is a frame. I'm going to say a prime minister... And I cannot think of a prime minister. It's not Benjamin Disraeli, because I don't believe he had military service, and he was a magnificent prime minister for the Queen Victoria. Gosh, you have me on that one. I cannot think of. There's a man on the tip of my tongue, but he's not coming out.
Are you thinking of Winston?
You know, I thought of him earlier, but I thought that his career was not military at the early stages. I knew that he was tardy. I knew that he was a pain in the butt. He paid no attention to anybody and did exactly what he wanted to
do. Not only is it Winston Churchill.
It is Winston.
But he was, as a war correspondent, involved in some combat where he became the rear guard commander of some assault.
That's fascinating. He... the architect of our victory in Europe, without question, in my opinion. A little history side, he never got along well with Franklin Roosevelt.
Oh, really?
They did not get along well. They got along because by the nature, he always thought he was a pompous ass, quite frankly. And
well, he probably was.
Franklin Roosevelt, frankly, really was just a character.
But you know, Roosevelt wasn't...
But he adored Eleanor Roosevelt.
Hmm.
Absolutely adored her. He thought that she was a woman of stature and substance in his book, a woman who understood where the United States was going and where the world was going. And in my opinion, he was absolutely correct. And I had the pleasure of meeting her in my early career, back in the early 60s. And she was a woman who really knew what she wanted and how she wanted. I met her with the on-air host for a program for many years in this city, Barry Gray.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, wonderful newsman. Really had his pulse on things.
Mm-hmm.
And they were old friends. And that's where I met her. And, boy, this lady had the – she can give you 5 minutes in 5 minutes exactly where we got to go.
There, you know, there's a lot of statements that supposedly Sir Winston said. There's this one, I think it was Lady Astor, where Sir Winston was either acting inappropriately at a dinner party or not acting at all.
Usually,
anyway, she said to him, supposedly she said to him, Sir Winston, you are drunk.
Yes.
And, you know, you've heard his response, which is, yes, Lady Astor, but in the morning I shall be sober. Lady Astor, and you are ugly. In the morning I shall be sober and you
will still be ugly.
The same. You know? Now, I don't know if that's correct or not. But
gosh.
Then there's another one where one of his aides said to him as they come out of some event and said, Sir Winston, it's raining. And he said, yes. And the aide said, do you think it will stop? And he said, it always has.
It always has.
You know. So
men like him. I'm a buff of Teddy Roosevelt. Did you know that Teddy Roosevelt wrote a book about New York?
No,
he did. He wrote a book about the beginnings of New York City and how it got started up until mid 19th century. Fascinating book by Teddy Roosevelt, because the Roosevelt family had a lot of interest in the city of New York, and. He was a wonderful writer.
At least they got a hotel here in Manhattan.
There you go, the Roosevelt Hotel. Did a lot of business out of that hotel.
Kidding.
But the point is that he understood how this city worked. And everything he said in this book, which was written at the turn of the past century, was correct to this day, including our problems with water, which we're having,
mm-hmm.
our problems with the Hudson River, which we're having, our disposal of our waste, which we've had and we're trying to correct, and so on and so forth. And he saw all of that. Do you know that dolphins used to swim up the Hudson River? I didn't know that.
I would imagine when it's in its purity a long time ago, before we had the pollution problem. And it's much better today than it was 25, 30 years ago.
They're fishing just north now of the George Washington Bridge, is at the northern end of Manhattan Island.
No, they're fishing way up where I live. I mean, I'm up by Kingston, New York,
yes.
along the Hudson. And they fish, and they're able to eat that out of there. Because, you know, years ago there was the big pollution problem from GE up in Schenectady.
Correct.
And, you know, they decided not to, I believe they decided not to disturb the sediment that's contaminated and just kind of let nature
take its way.
Cover it over. And the same thing happened, you know, right across from West Point is a magnificent ecological marsh called Constitution Marsh.
That's correct.
And that's the birthplace of a lot of the early fish that eventually grow up and go out into the Atlantic Ocean. During the Korean War, there was a cadmium battery factory, just off that marsh, and they dumped a lot of their sediment into that marsh.
Yes.
And it's the same thing. Underneath, it is so polluted that nobody should, in their right mind, would want to disturb that because of the cadmium pollution as we understand it today.
That's very interesting. That really is. You know, while we're on the subject of the state of New York, New York State, from north of the George Washington Bridge all the way up to the border to Canada and west, has one of the largest reserves on the eastern seaboard, east of the Mississippi River. I did not know that.
You mean the tributaries?
That's correct. And the land that's considered national landmark and preserved in the Adirondacks and the Catskills.
I read once, but I can't substantiate that I think that the Hudson drains at least five states.
Yes.
With tributaries.
Tributaries.
It doesn't go all the way up to the border, though.
No, it does not.
It starts at Lake Tear of the Clouds in the Adirondack Mountains.
Yes.
And then goes down the Opalescent River and into the Indian River, and then that feeds into the Hudson.
Right. It's fascinating when you think about it, but I didn't realize that. Most people don't think about New York State being this wonderful garden environment, and it truly is, because the Adirondacks is still one of the great bastions.
Oh.
And by the way, I wasn't also aware of this. There are parts of the Adirondack Forest that they don't believe man has stepped on for over 200 years.
I can believe that. I mean, I think that not because we live here, but I think New York State is one of the more beautiful with varied terrain in the United States.
Without question.
Every state obviously has its own beauty, but I think we have a variety here that's extraordinary.
We live in a beautiful country.
Oh, we do.
We do. And I hope people will take an opportunity, our listeners out there, take a walk sometime, walk in the woods, see what's going on. It's a beautiful place.
And get your kids out there in the woods.
Absolutely. It's fascinating. They will learn more about the environment by just a simple walk.
Isn't that the truth?
Isn't that
especially if they walk with an adult who knows something about it.
Walking with us, Carl Sabatino, Roland Smith, on America Weekend, the Envision Radio Network.
Have you heard? Proactive Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-568-5857, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-568-5857. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-568-5857. That's 800-568-5857.